He prayed that they might have character in Christ. Hermit Christianity is not in God's plan. How many have you ever heard of Christians in one little compound, just Christians in it? It's not God's plan. We're supposed to be released into the world. How else are you going to save it? What if all the Christians could just put walls up around them and never have contact with anybody outside those walls? Who would get saved? You'd have to save the people behind the walls in the compound. They'd be so messed up. And yet Christians keep trying to do this.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Pastor Rick is currently teaching through the book of 1 John. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. And now here's Pastor Rick with a continuing study called The World Against Us as he teaches through 1 John chapter 2.
Our third greatest foe is the world. Humanity stiff-arming Christ is our third greatest enemy. The first, of course, is Satan. And the second is ourselves, our fallen nature, our own carnality, our own proclivity to sin. And very quickly, be the world indifferent or intense in their opposition to Christ, they are energized by Satan, and they energize the movement of the world. They contribute to it. They're not part of the solution. They're part of the problem. We are supposed to be part of the solution if we can get away from the petty stuff, swallowing camels, gagging on gnats. As Christians, you know, we're not encouraged to draw attention to ourselves. We are encouraged to draw attention to Christ and his message. That's why we shun those things that shine the spotlight on us. We'll cover some of that maybe next session too when we talk about the pride of life. 1 John chapter 5, to make the point that be they indifferent or intense in their opposition, they are under the devil's hand. John writes, "We know that we are of God." He says, we've got this, as we might say, down packed. He says, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And they hate you for having the audacity to say it.
Oh, what do you mean? Are Christians only saved?
Yeah, that's exactly what we mean. That is precisely, and here's why. They all can't be true. All roads may lead to Rome, but they do not all lead to salvation. Human life in society with Christ left out is to not be loved in the end, in the day of judgment. It is to be left out by God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, when we look at the world as not our enemy, well, they are dangerous, but the people in the world system, yes, our energy, the people, the enemy, the people, no, the people are not our enemies. They are the subject of our presence. And such were some of you, wrote Paul. After he itemized a list of all sorts of immoral behaviors, he says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. So, I, as a Christian, reserve the right to reject whatever I think is false about my God, no matter what anyone says, no matter what credentials they may claim to hold, and I do it unapologetically. I don't apologize for not believing what the world believes. I do not apologize for agreeing with God, ever. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed. Do not be shaped. And unfortunately, so many Christians cannot be distinguished from the worldlings because they live just like them. Do not be conformed to the world, this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you see, when John says, do not love this place, don't love this system. If you love that, then you do not love him. It's very easy to see. All believers want to seriously oppose Satan's rule and his ability to draw people to him and his interests. But it is not easy. It is very difficult. Of course, we've got this fifth column in our heart. We have these traitors that live within us, the flesh, our carnality, the fallen nature, all names for the same thing, that old man. Ephesians 2, Paul said, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, whether they agree or not. They don't have to sign it to own it. If they're not following Jesus Christ, they are under the power of the prince of the air. They are sons of disobedience. He says, or the things of the world. Do not love the world or the junk that's in it. But the flesh does. If we compare Galatians 5, 19 through 21, where Paul itemizes the murders, the envy, the self-seeking, all the junk that comes from the flesh, and then he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, again, joy, against such there's no law. And we get a better idea of where this Christianity of ours is supposed to go with us in tow, included. Galatians 6, 14, but God forbid. I love this. This consider the man Paul in his life. Consider who's saying this. After all the stonings, the beatings, the shipwrecks, he says, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. I'm dead to that junk. True believers want it and want it so bad you could smell it. But then there's that flesh, which we will deal with in part two. That's why we're going to go to Homer's Iliad, because we all have an Achilles heel. Otherwise, we're gallant and we're strong and fierce, except for that one spot. Who thought of that? Doesn't matter. What are you going to do about it? Endurance, that's going to be a big part of making it through. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 31. For the form of this world is passing away. John has already said that earlier. He's going to say that again. The form of this world, this system, this world formed by human opinion is dying. It's just very dangerous until it's dead. I saw a video of a copperhead separated from its body, biting its own body still. It's dead. It's still deadly. And that is the world. The dangers that lurk and draw some of them so wonderful into the flesh. As I mentioned, the world is illustrated for us in the Old Testament in type form. God holds it up and says, you see Egypt? You see that culture? That's the world. That's how the world ticks. Then he holds up Babylon. He says, you see, Babylon, that's not the culture so much. That's the cults in the world. They're spiritual errors. You see the Assyrians? How vicious and mean they are? That is the world's cruelty. These want you to join them against me. Abraham, he escaped from the world. He lived in what became known as Babylon, in that area, Mesopotamia. And God said, Abraham, get out from your father's house. Get out of there. And he treks his way to the promised land. Not long after arriving in the promised land, he stumbles. He goes into Egypt. And what does he say on the way to Egypt? God never told him to go into Egypt. Pressure came in his life. And Abraham felt that was the logical thing to do. And what does he say to his wife? You are a beautiful woman, and they will kill me for you. But don't go to that place, Abraham. Stay away from there. But he goes anyway. He says, listen, tell them you're my sister, which was a half-truth. That should have been an indicator, right? But, you know, pressures blind us. And that's where Abraham was. The famine had obscured his vision. But he made it through because he was a true man of God. Then there is the rich fool in the Lord's parable in Luke chapter 12. This man was rich without God, God said. Just counting all of his stuff. Ooh, I'll make space for more stuff, because that's what happens. Life becomes this thing where we just keep buying stuff. It's called Amazon Prime. Just a click, boom, and it's mine. I bought a necktie, and by the time I closed the window, I was wearing it. It's like, man, that's fast service. Sheesh. So, that was pretty good. No, that kind of pride's okay, because it's me. But if you do it, you're going to be rebuked by the pastor. Anyway, double standards are frowned upon in other people. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 20. But God said to him, to the rich fool, fool, that's why he's called the rich fool. God named him. He said, no name calling, too late. Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? You're going to die tonight. Who gets all your stuff? It was one of the concerns of Solomon. What's going to happen to my kingdom and everything I have? Will someone that is worthy could take it over? He was looking at his boy Rehoboam. He said, this kid's a disaster. He's going to mess it up. And that's exactly what Rehoboam did. He continues, commentary. So he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You can have treasures, but you better have him as the treasure. That's the message that Christ is sharing with us. That man, he loved what the world offered and left it all behind. How much? All of it. He left every bit of it behind. And then there was Solomon, the poster boy for, I don't know, several posters he could go on. He's an enigma. He's got it in his head. You read this proverb. Just read Proverbs 31. Lemuel, listen, son. Don't give your strength. And he does, just opposite of everything he taught. He started out as a young man living and loving the Lord. His dedication of the temple was magnificent. But in time, he greatly expanded his harem. And he lived more and more like a worldly king, less like a God-fearing man, God-fearing king. Mark's gospel, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. It chokes it. It cuts off the life. You know, the life of the animal is the blood, we're told in Leviticus 17, because the blood brings the oxygen. It does other things, too. It causes panic when it leaks. Me, I don't care, how bad is it? So, he continues, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Unbeneficial, that's the story of Solomon. All of his wisdom became, it was no longer a benefit. He had advantages that he did not use, and therefore they were no longer advantages, practically speaking. In the end, he's a shipwreck. Spending his last days lamenting his life for serving wrong things. And he writes Ecclesiastes to reflect upon his despair. And he makes so many good points in Ecclesiastes that hit you, especially as you grow older in life and you know the drill now and you read Ecclesiastes. Boy, that is right on. Lord, save me from this so I do not become just a biblical statistician. Howard Cosell, some of you might remember, was a sports announcer. And what I like most about him is the title of his book, I Never Played the Game. It was such a clever little name. He wasn't an athlete, but he was an announcer, a sports announcer, and he would give interviews and like that. But he really never played the game. He didn't box. He didn't go onto the football field, the baseball field, any of those. That's not for us. We're not to say, I've never played the game. We are to be totally in the game of life as believers And we are to be in the world, not of it. And so he says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What a grand distinction between the saints and the ain'ts. In the Bible, the saints are those who are saved. That word means separated, set aside. It does not mean that people voted you into some super status as a whatever. That is a false teaching. It is one of many that come out of hell, especially in the institutions that promote such nonsense. When Paul wrote his letters to Christians, he addressed them as saints, every single one of them. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a saint. You are distinct. You are separated from the judgment to come and into the kingdom of God. That is the definition of the word. And those living for this world prove a serious lack of understanding that this world is the enemy of God. Anybody who claims to be a believer of Jesus Christ but loves this world without shame is making themselves an enemy of God. John's Gospel, chapter 15. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet, because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Blunt, to the point, just like John. How can we love and admire a system that hates our beloved Lord? Yet there are those who claim to be Christians and they do that very thing. Something is seriously defective there. John 17, verse 6, Jesus said, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. Out of the world system, not off the planet, because they were still here. In fact, he left them behind. Jesus Christ alone gets us out of the world system and its doom, and no one else. John's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 9, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. You see, the world is doomed. There's no sympathy for it. There's no rescuing it. It comes from hell. It's damaged beyond repair. But the people in it, they can be retrieved if they would just come. The world system irretrievably doomed, as verse 17 also points out. We should read it. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. One abides forever. The other one does not. That is the judgment. Mankind, apart from Jesus Christ, has nothing to offer God. It's just nothing. What's in it for him? What are you going to bring him, a turkey? You could bring him, you know, Chicago. It wouldn't impress him. If you don't have the blood of the Lamb, you've got nothing. And that's the whole story of Cain and Abel. Cain did not bring the blood offering that speaks of his sins and unworthiness and his no right to approach God, because mankind, apart from the blood of the Lamb, has nothing to offer God. Zero love and zero care for God. If you have not Christ, you may have full-blown care for your creation of God. You see, the sinner will make God in his image. It's the whole story of Greek mythology. They created gods like themselves, then they pumped steroids into them. They made them super mean, super vindictive. They gave them powers that humans did not have to exercise their revenge. So that's what happens when you get ahead in your studies. It starts leaking out. And I'm doing that. I want to hold it for next week. Well, the world, they despise those who deliver the message of love. The love of Christ. They want love the way they want love. They want to author it. They want to be the keepers of it, the custodians of love. Like the universities, they want to be the custodians of all knowledge, not just the knowledge in the fields that they can have. They want all of it. That's why they give honorary doctorates. We're going to say you are smart like us, but because we pronounce it. I would love, it's not going to happen. But I would love for someone to offer me an honorary doctorate, because I'd go live on YouTube and I would say, no, that's it. Okay, it's my fantasy and I love it. But man didn't make me. If I have anything in Christ, God did it, and no one's going to get any of the thunder. It's all his. We now pronounce you
Dr. Kaboom-boom.
And nope, not going to happen. Now, again, I know some of you cringe at this because there are those that they lean towards bowing down to knowledge. It took Eve out. Knowledge took Eve down. And the women are still running that way at a faster rate than the men. But the men, what are they being taken out by? We know, defending Eve. So we all see that the lessons remain for us. They are powerful. They are enough. And we have to master them and make sure they don't master our passions and take over the ship. And it's okay. You identify, okay, I've got this problem. This is my problem. But I am not crossing the line with that problem. And that's going to take a lot of work. Well, where was I? John 17, verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I kept. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. The Lord is saying, the scripture called it out a long time ago, what was going to happen with Judas. Not because it was decided, but because by God, but because Judas decided. He made that choice, and God honored the choice of Judas. But the others, they, while I was with them in the world, they are kept in the name of Christ. And so, in dealing with the world, we must distinguish those friendly facts from the hostile ones. And if we don't learn to do that, we get tripped up. And many of an intelligent Christian has been tripped up because they cannot discern between the friendly facts and the hostile presentation of facts. Or twisting, you might say. It's an easy way to say it. John's Gospel again, chapter 17. This again, chapter 17, is the Lord's Prayer to his Father. And John, the apostle, has captured it for us. And there's so much theology in this that has everything to do with how I live my life. Christ prays, I do pray to the Father, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Here he is facing death, just a walk away. And he prays not that they would be isolated or comforted, but he prays for their character. He says, I'm praying that the evil one does not get to them. He doesn't mean with the sword. He means with influence, that Satan does not rule over them. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Leave them here. Leave them here in harm's way, but be a shield about them. He prayed that they might have character in Christ. Hermit Christianity is not in God's plan. How many have you ever heard of Christians in one little compound, just Christians in it? It's not God's plan. We're supposed to be released into the world. How else are you going to save it? What if all the Christians could just put walls up around them and never have contact with anybody outside those walls? Who would get saved? You'd have to save the people behind the walls in the compound. They'd be so messed up. And yet Christians keep trying to do this. We shelter our children as their children, but we have to start preparing them to engage the enemy at some point. We are to operate within enemy lines. Again, not isolated in some compound somewhere. John's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 18. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. As you sent me into the world, I put them in a nice little happy place where the world can't get to them. That's not what he did. He says, I'm sending them into the world, and I'm praying that the evil one will not get to them because of their relationship with me. So in the world, here we are. We are swimming against the flow. And not only are we to swim against the flow, but we are to know how to get out of riptides and get others out of them too. That is the mission of the Christian. We are left behind. We are left behind to shine as a light in a dark place. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. We are to let the light shine. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. And it is a rookie mistake of believers to try to withdraw from the world at large. Now, granted, we're not looking to go into areas where we will be taken out and to run with the world. We are present here as an occupation force. Jesus said, do business till I come. And he meant righteous business also.
Thanks for tuning in to Cross Reference Radio. Cross Reference is a ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville in Virginia. If you'd like to learn more about this ministry, we invite you to visit our website, crossreferenceradio.com. You'll find a number of teachings from Pastor Rick available there. We also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast. When you subscribe, you'll be notified of new editions of Cross Reference Radio. Just search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes, Google Play Music, or your favorite podcast app store. You can also follow the links at crossreferenceradio.com. We're glad we were able to spend time with you today. Tune in next time to continue learning from the book of 1 John with Pastor Rick, right here on Cross Reference Radio.